Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. We're going to go right straight to Phoenix for the Metal Report with Gene Miller. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening, Bill. How are you tonight?
Well, I'll be better when it's all over and I can go to bed.
There you go. Well, gold had a high today of 384.30, a low of 382.30, to close at 384.20, up 70 cents. Silver had a high of $5.38, a low of $5.25, to close at 537. Up 4 cents. Platinum was unchanged. It had a high of 400, a low of 395, to close unchanged at 401.60. And the Dow had a high of 3770, a low of 3753, to close at 3758, down $1.90. Basically, the markets were fairly quiet today. I wanted to ask you, Bill, did you see the article in yesterday's USA Today? Did you happen to catch that?
Yes, I did. Why don't you tell our listeners?
Well, it was basically about the front page, the main article, government to pay benefits via plastic. In other words, they're talking about what is commonly known as the smart card going to the cashless society. Anybody that's on Social Security, military pensions, anybody getting government benefits, food stamps, or any type of subsidies are all going to be now paid through a smart card, and it'll just all be electronic. And it says the plan is part of Vice President Gore's program to reinvent government. Well, it goes on also to say that we will have an electronic audit trail for every transaction. And we got to thinking about that at work, you know, what we do, and right now, when people buy gold, it's private. There is no paper trail involved, coming or going. But when this takes place, and folks, it's here. It's on your doorstep. Everything that you buy will automatically create a paper trail, and you're not going to get away with anything. I guess you can decide what, you know, one of two things are going to happen. Either A, we're not going to take the smart card, or B, like I said, you're going to have every conceivable thing that you buy and do is going to be scrutinized by the government. If you want them to know what you have, I guess you can wait till it's on, until you have the card, and then do all your purchases of gold and silver and protect yourself. One other thing I wanted to read, this quick paragraph came out of Richard Russell's Dow Theory Letters. Just this last week, it says, listen, I don't care what anyone says, there's something real and honest, something about real, honest to goodness, physical gold that differs from anything else in the financial world. You hold the coins in your hand and you tell yourself, this is real wealth. This is real money. It's tangible money. Money that will always possess purchasing power. The stock market can collapse. Bonds can go belly up, commodities can dump, your house can burn down, but gold itself is true value. It's immutable. It's anonymous. It's outlasted 1,000 paper currencies. Gold has been called money since the time of pharaohs and before. Gold is the first metal mentioned in the Bible. 100 years from now, when all of today's paper money is in frames on the wall of monetary museums, gold will still represent purchasing power. He says, I worry about a lot of things, but I never worry about physical gold. And folks, at this stage of the game, I can't even conceive how anybody could go wrong by owning gold. You're protecting you and your family's future. You know our number, 1-800-289-2646, 1-800-BUY-COIN. Give us a call. We'll be more than happy to sit down and talk with you and at least get some information in your hand. The information's free, and get an education on this and start doing something to protect yourself.
Beans, guts, gold, and bullets,
yeah.
Commodities of the near future.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gene.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
Well, folks, don't go away. Make sure you have pencil and paper. Tonight is Raw Intelligence Data Night. We've never done this before, but I'm going to give you a taste of what I go through on almost a daily basis. We get intelligence input from CAGI members all over the world. Today I went through about 1,000 sheets of intelligent input, and I picked out as many as I can possibly maybe air tonight, and I'm going to go through it like a machine gun rattling out bullets, so you better listen, and you better write, and you better be quick. And you're going to get just a little taste of what it's like to be around here analyzing raw intelligence as it comes in on a daily basis. Eavesdropping software. The White House is pressing for legislation to force telephone and cable television companies to install computer software on their networks that would enable law enforcement agencies to eavesdrop on phone calls and computer transmissions. Clinton administration officials said Friday the move intended to preserve the law enforcement agency's ability to conduct court-authorized wiretaps is intended to overcome the difficulty of intercepting telephone conversations and other electronic transmissions in the on-off pulses of digital computer code. From the Philadelphia Inquirer Business, thanks to the Pentagon, we'll know where we are. The military developed a tracking system for objects on Earth. A receiver could be in civilian cars soon. I tell you, they are already. The trucking industry has been using them for at least 2 years. Washington, the Pentagon is awash in obsolete nuclear bombs, mothballed battleships, and surplus military bases, but there's at least one technological scrap left by the Cold War with a promising payoff. When the Defense Department laid plans in the 1970s for its global positioning system, a network of 24 satellites that broadcast navigation signals to users on Earth, it was intended to help soldiers fight anywhere, from jungles to deserts along the way. Though commercial interests saw a potentially lucrative concept that could revolutionize industries such as land surveying, trucking, environmental protection, and farming, the technology now poised to leap into virtually every facet of the American economy is expected to create an industry with more than 100,000 jobs and annual revenues of $5 billion to $10 billion by the year 2000. With a special receiver that taps the satellite signal, civilian users can determine their position by latitude and longitude within 100 meters anywhere in the world. Tracking things on Earth, Thursday, May 5th, 1994. The same technology could be used in reverse to track and identify every single automobile, vehicle, ship, plane, boat, train, or person on this Earth. May 31st. 1994. The Supreme Court on Tuesday allowed government-sponsored events such as fairs, festivals, and parades to bar inappropriate groups from participation. What is inappropriate? The court turned down the appeal of anti-abortion group that said its free speech rights were violated when it was excluded from the 1990 Great Pumpkin Festival in Frankfort, Kentucky. In a case from Cobb County, Georgia, the court refused to let the Ten Commandments be posted in a county courthouse. The court, which previously banned the commandments from classroom walls in public schools, left intact rulings that forced Cobb County officials to remove from their courthouse complex a 3-by-5-foot framed panel containing the Ten Commandments and teachings of Jesus. Rule 7-2 in a Washington case that states can require hydroelectric power plant operators to keep a minimum amount of stream flow to protect fish. That will raise your electricity rates. Left intact, a Dallas curfew challenged by some teenagers and their parents as unconstitutional. Many American cities have adopted curfews to curtail rising crime rates. Agreed to decide in a case from Phoenix whether arrests based on faulty computer records are good faith mistakes that don't necessarily require throwing out all evidence seized afterwards. Violation of Fourth Amendment rights. The court's action in the Kennedy, Kentucky case was taken over a dissenting vote by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who voted to review the dispute. June 1st, 1994, the United States ranks first in military spending, first in murders, first in rapes, first in road accidents in the industrialized world. Of course, they don't tell you that we have more roads, more cars, more vehicles, and more people on the road at any given time, according to a report to the United Nations released today. The 1994 Human Development Report said the United States spends $290 billion a year to defend its borders, while crime within its borders cost an estimated $425 billion in 1992. It said 20 children a day died from gunshot wounds in 1992. 14 million crimes were reported to police. More than 2 million workers were physically attacked, and nearly 6.5 million others were threatened with violence. Has anybody checked those figures? I doubt it. I challenge you to check them, verify them. You'll find that they're false. There were more than 150,000 reported rapes in the United States in 1993, it said. Consumer spending on narcotics in the United States is thought to exceed the combined incomes of more than 80 developing countries, and we're supposed to feel sorry for them. During the 1980s, real earnings of Americans fell by 3%, and nearly 15% of the population now lives below the poverty line. Between 1987 and 1990, real benefit spending per old age pensioner declined by 40%, and we're supposed to be in an improving economy. What is bad for white America is much worse for black America. One-third of whites live in areas polluted by carbon monoxide, but the figure for blacks is nearly 50%. The unemployment rate for blacks is twice that for whites, it said. I say blacks move. Austin, Texas, June 1st. Researchers at the University of Texas have invented a blood substitute for use in transfusions that has several advantages over human blood. It does not require blood typing or cross-matching, has a longer shelf life, and avoids blood-borne infections like HIV. Remember that, folks? Police halt paramilitary maneuvers. Five in fatigues arrested. Weapons seized in where? This is the Chicopee Holyoke Union, Friday, August 20th, 1993. We just received this. Apparently, an element of the militia was exercising in a nearby woods with the approval of the officials, of the police, of everybody else, who knew that they had been using those woods to exercise for quite some time. All of a sudden, five were arrested and charged with violation of gun laws. Since they were militia, there's no violation. Flash bulletin. We've known this since it happened, but I was saving this for tonight. Why? Because I didn't want to rant and rave too soon. Reliable reports indicate that Red Beckman, one of the founders of FIJA, was jumped this morning by the local sheriff's SWAT team, removed from his 15-acre ranch, personal effects taken from the dwelling to ostensibly be stored at Red's expense, and the house was bulldozed. No shots were fired. The militia in Montana had stated that they were not going to allow this to happen. They stated that they would hold the line and protect Red Beckman's property along with Red and his family. Where were you? Sleeping on the job? You didn't even post a watch. The militia in Montana, as far as I'm concerned, should be shot. You're not worth a damn if that's the kind of militia that you are. You made a promise, you didn't keep it. And if that's the way the militia across this country is going to act, you might as well hang it up right now. Rodent's death prompts charge, Bakersfield, California. Tongming Lin's 1 acre of bamboo was supposed to be just the beginning of his American dream. The Taiwanese immigrant had cultivated his remaining 719 acres in preparation for other vegetables to cater to Southern California's booming Asian population. Federal agents stopped him before he could plant his other crops. 3 months ago, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service agents showed Lin a dead Tipton kangaroo rat, told him the rodent was found on his land, and accused him of violating the Endangered Species Act. Lin, 51, pleaded innocent to a federal charge of knowingly killing an endangered species and destroying its habitat. If convicted, he could be imprisoned for 1 year and fined $300,000. I can hear some of you now. What's that chink doing here with 719 acres? I hope they put him away forever. Well, if they do, folks, you're next. You're next. You are next. Just when he was ready to hit the gas and start to make his dream come true, these people descended on him like stormtroopers, said Daniel Rudnick, Lin's attorney. Rudnick says his client is a symbol for farmers across the country to have endangered species on their land. A farm in neighboring Tulare County pleaded guilty in April to the same charge involving the endangered blunt-nosed leopard lizard. The owners of Tula Vista Farms handed over part of their land to the Fish and Wildlife Service in lieu of a fine. Folks, if you find a dinosaur living in a cave on your land, shoot it, bury it, and forget it. The United States leads world in exporting arms. This comes from the Democrat and Chronicle, Rochester, New York. U.S. leads world in exporting arms. On the same page, ladies and gentlemen, it says Brady Law prevents 1,605 from buying handguns. County forms militia to protect gun rights. The Palm Beach Post, Saturday, April 16th, Florida. No draft notices are planned, but all able-bodied inhabitants of Santa Rosa County are being conscripted into a symbolic militia to protect gun rights. County commissioners Thursday unanimously passed a militia resolution to make sure residents can keep their guns under the Second Amendment, which states, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The resolution drew praise from gun rights advocates such as Jim Barnett of Pensacola in neighboring Escambia County. A similar proposal is to be offered next week. I think they should take it a step further and twice a year hold a big meeting and tell all the citizens to bring down their guns and 1,000 rounds of ammunition for training, said Barnett, owner of Grasswood Gateswood Sports Incorporated. It could be a big fish fry. Do it in your county. San Antonio, June 1st. Federal judge on Wednesday ruled against a Texas sheriff who filed a lawsuit claiming he did not have enough manpower power to enforce the Brady Law and that the law would put him in legal jeopardy. U.S. District Judge Ed Pato of San Antonio upheld a handgun control law rejecting claims by Val Verde County Sheriff J.R. Coog of Del Rio that the law violated the Fifth and Tenth Amendments to the Constitution. Coog said in the March 9th lawsuit that the background searches the law required tied up manpower on his small staff and made him and other law enforcement officials vulnerable to civil liability suits. Wrong argument, my friend. The argument should have been on a constitutional basis and the fact that you don't work for the federal government and therefore they have no jurisdiction to tell you what to do. That's why he lost, and that's why Sheriff Mack will win, and that's why the sheriff in Montana won. Brady Bill, a snowball rolling downhill. Law, the background check requirement is overturned on the pivotal question of what Congress can order states to do, and that is the right argument, ladies and gentlemen. Congress amends or repeals scores of laws each year, but there is one law that never goes away, the law of unintended consequences. The latest boomerang involves the Brady Bill, the controversial measure to impose a 5-day waiting period for purchases of handguns. It was signed with great publicity last December as a breakthrough victory for gun control advocates and a tribute to the tenacity of Sarah and Jim Brady. He, the popular press secretary who was badly wounded in the 1981 assassination attempt against President Reagan. Far less attention has been given to the May 16th federal court decision that the key section of the Brady Bill requiring a check of criminal records, drug or mental problems of gun applicants is a violation of the Constitution and unenforceable anywhere in the country. That's the real argument, or one of them, anyway. The card. The card, not too long ago, I did a broadcast outlining to you the proposal by the U.S. Post Office Department for a one card for everything. And it is reality. Postal Service and IRS mull national identity cards, and Clinton is going to sign the orders. Digital media has learned that the Clinton administration is debating not if but how to create a card that every American will need in order to interact with any federal government agency. Combined with two potential executive orders and the Postal Service's designs on putting its stamps on personal and business electronic transactions, the card could open a window on every nuance of American personal and business life. Another prediction by yours truly has come true. The wrangling among the administration, the U.S. Postal Service, the Internal Revenue Service, and Department of Defense emerged into the public eye at this April's Card Tech Secure Tech Conference. The gathering of security experts was convened to discuss applications for smart card and PCM CIA memory card technologies in business and government. The Postal Service at the conference presented a proposal for a general purpose U.S. services smart card which individuals and companies would use to authenticate their identities when sending and receiving electronic mail, transferring funds, and interacting with government agencies such as the IRS, Veterans Administration, and the Department of Health and Human Services. Soon it would be followed by medical doctors, hospitals, supermarkets, banks. Everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, President Clinton is also considering signing two executive orders that would greatly expand the government's access to personal records, including an order that would allow the IRS to monitor individual bank accounts and automatically collect taxes based on the results, said sources close to the White House. The collection service will be presented as a convenient way to avoid filling out a tax return. The White House did not respond to requests for comments about this report. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, even if you got yourself out of the system, if you deposit your money in a bank, the IRS would just merely confiscate it, part of it, all of it, a percentage of it, whatever they want. When sending or receiving electronic mail, U.S. card users would be able to check the authenticity of a digital signature to screen out imposters, banking transactions, notably credit card purchases, loan payments that depend on authentication of the participants' identities, and an audit trail would be registered in Postal Service systems. Veterans, or for that matter, college students and welfare recipients could check their federal benefits using the identification data on their U.S. cards. Visitors to an emergency room would have instant access to medical records at other hospitals as well as their health insurance information. Enough said. These examples, folks, seem benign separately, but collectively they paint a picture of a citizen's or business's existence that could be meddlesome at best and downright totalitarian at worst. It could be the beginning of total control of your entire life from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night until the time you die. Investors Business Daily, 12 May. Clinton planned national ID card poses thorny privacy questions. As part of its continuing effort to encourage better living through digitization, the Clinton administration recently unveiled plans for a general purpose identification card that would electronically tie every American to Uncle Sam. Nuff said. Washington, May 31st, 1994. Trying to get out of the business of printing food stamps and writing welfare checks, the Clinton administration announced a nationwide system Tuesday to use electronic banking technology to deliver billions of dollars in government benefits. Vice President Al Gore's plan calls for expanding a system known as electronic benefits transfer from a handful of local experiments into a national network that could ultimately deliver $111 billion a year in benefits ranging from welfare to Social Security and military pensions. EBT is already being used statewide in Maryland and in several cities around the country to deliver welfare benefits and food stamps through automated teller machines and retail point of service terminals. Marine Corps recruits are also using the card. Washington, President Al Gore, Vice President Al Gore, he'd like to be president. Vice President Al Gore says millions of low-income Americans will receive their monthly benefits through electronic banking, taking the government out of the business of writing welfare checks and printing food stamps by 1999. Gore wants to expand a system known as electronic benefits transfer, or EBT, from a handful of local experiments into a national network using a single card. the system ultimately could deliver $111 billion a year in benefits, ranging from welfare to Social Security and military pensions. Wake up, sheeple. You're almost history. Card standard. In the face of increasing and more diversified use of banking cards, the International Organization for Standardization, ISO, has published a standard for a second generation of identification cards for financial transactions. Smart chips. The first essential is that after insertion of the chip, the cards still comply with other basic international identification card standards. The Standards Council of Canada predicts the cards will be widely used in Canada within the next 4 to 5 years. United States Marines are learning in more ways than one how to charge. At boot camp at Paris Island, after a day of rigorous battle training, Marines can make purchases and draw cash at base exchanges with smart cards containing embedded computer chips and what may be the first major electronic money system implemented by a United States government agency. Marine recruits have their pay entered on smart cards, and all the time they are in their training, they never see one single coin or dollar bill. All transactions are made with their own personal card. The fearsome potential of a national ID. The Register, Orange County, 5 January 1994. It is almost impossible to view Schindler's List without being distressed by its reminder that inhumanity can exist on such a massive scale. It's a powerful movie that has much to communicate about the potential of humans for good or evil, but bear in mind, folks, I've seen the movie, I've read the book, I've also studied the reality of the camp that the movie portrays, and the movie is fiction. Fiction. In fact, the commandant's quarters were built in an area where he could not even see the camp, much less stroll out on a balcony and take pot shots at the inmates. Nevertheless, the point made here is true. It's a powerful movie that has much to communicate about the potential of humans for good or evil. Its impact, one hopes, will be as more than just history, but also as a lesson on the danger of giving government the means to divide people along ethnic lines. One of the film's most compelling messages is the awesome control lists can have on a person's future. It goes beyond the title list and focuses on lists in general. Of course, Schindler's List was a compilation of Jews lucky to survive. However, the movie depicted how being on other lists led less fortunate Jews to extermination. In fact, the movie begins with the Nazi list makers identifying the Jews being forcibly moved into the Krakow ghetto. As each more terrible stage of the Holocaust unfolds, the first sign is the list makers deciding who shall live and who shall die, to the extent that simply being on a list or having certain identification papers becomes equivalent to death or survival. The film shows the inevitable corruptions of any identification system. As identification becomes the means of survival, histories and papers are falsified. One character is placed on a train headed for an extermination camp simply because he is accidentally put on a list. One of the more telling scenes is when another character, on disembarking from a train at Auschwitz, frantically asks, "Where are the list makers?" She had learned that her survival required being on a list. The inherent danger of mandatory identification is an important message, especially as we are seeing a bipartisan consensus forming for such a system. President Clinton's health security card is equivalent to national identification. Its magnetic strip will contain the cardholder's health history, which may include ethnic background, sexual preference, as well as physical and psychological abnormalities. Many Republicans, led by California Governor Wilson, have been pushing for ID cards to control illegal immigration. Not surprisingly, this is the only part of Wilson's immigration proposals Clinton has endorsed. And this goes on and on and on. Coupled this with the rest of the information we just gave you about, quote, the card, unquote, and you have the potential for tremendous control of your life. The Washington Post. U.S. and Russia to jointly train troops. And I told you this a long time ago. We put it, folks, in the treason documents. We documented it first. We put it out on the air first. We were called a liar first. The facts prove that we are the only ones who have been giving it to you straight. U.S., Russia to jointly train troops. The Washington Post, Washington, in another milestone of cautious friendship between old Cold War enemies, United States and Russian defense leaders, yesterday agreed to train two of their heavy combat divisions together for combined peacekeeping operations. The training, likely to be performed in Russia, Germany, and the continental United States, would be the first exercises of any kind involving the ground forces of the world's two most powerful armies. A handful of previous cooperative contacts between the United States and Russian forces beginning in 1988 and accelerating with the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1992 have taken place, mainly in passing exercises between warships at sea. Don't go away. I will be right back. National Guard is on lookout for troubled teens. East Lyme, Connecticut. The Connecticut National Guard is looking for a few good kids. Brigadier General David Boland, director of National Guard's Youth Challenge Program, says he needs another 80 to 90 teenagers to fill out the second boot camp phase at Camp Weicker in Niantic. He says he doesn't care if he gets youths who have been recommended by truant officers or probation officials. The brown shirts are taking form. The brown shirts are taking form. New life for old military bases. USA Today, once slated for mothballing New Jersey's Fort Dix, got a new life when it became landlord to the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Union News. Military teaches jail guards riot tactics. Westover Air Reserve Base, clad in black uniforms and helmets, a dozen correctional officers with nightsticks drawn marched forward, careful not to break their arrowhead formation. Their eyes were focused straight ahead and their faces expressionless. Sounds like a bunch of robots, doesn't it? The bottom line in training is attitude, said Master Sergeant George L. Hoagland, who conducted the riot control training. These guys have a thirst to learn. Westover Security is providing a week of special response instruction for 12 Hamden County Sheriff's Office correctional officers. It is the first time the Air Force Reserve Unit at Westover has trained civilian police. And I thought those things were not supposed to happen in the United States of America. New York Reservists moving to Westover. It includes a photograph, ladies and gentlemen, of a train of flat cars bearing armored vehicles painted in United Nations colors. Westover hosting reservists in war condition practices. This article outlines the Westover Air Reserve training. Training, ladies and gentlemen, in what appears to be mock-ups of American cities. And we get down to the nitty-gritty. Emergency relay stations. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, will be conducting an exercise within the next several weeks. It includes the use of Army Mars radio stations. There will be more information to follow. The exercise is scheduled for 1st June. The FEMA frequencies to be used are 5211 and 10493 kilohertz upper sideband. That's 5211 and 10493 kilohertz upper sideband. This is an official government message, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm reading from. FEMA exercise: on 1 June 94, the Federal Emergency Management Agency will conduct the first National Emergency Coordination Net. The FEMA Net control station call will be WGY912, located near Berryville, Virginia. FEMA check-in frequencies are 5211.0 kHz and 10493.0 kHz, both upper sideband. Stations checking in will be asked for their agency name, Air Force, city, state, and zip code, or other agency identification. Moscow. The Americans aren't coming after all. Facing harsh opposition from nationalists, Russian lawmakers announced with their United States counterparts Tuesday that they were dropping plans for the first joint military maneuvers on Russian soil. Both sides agreed they should be held at a base in the United States instead. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Moscow. May 31st, 1994. Bowing to hardliners' pressure, Russia and the United States dropped plans today for joint military maneuvers in Russia and said they hope to hold the first ever such exercises on American soil instead. No date or base was given for proposed new maneuvers, which were to have sent some 250 U.S. troops to Russia for a week in July to work with an equal number of Russian officers and soldiers, followed by a full battalion armored division. Special report. Operation Agile 94 is a secret United States government, elite FBI, DEA, BATF, IRS, etc., multi-jurisdictional task force secret police operation, which is currently busting gun groups without regard to the Constitution or access to the press. AG 94 started in New Orleans on April 20th, moving eastward and then up the coast. Commencing on June 6, 1994, concurrent with AG 94 and one day after the crime bill will pass, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, United Nations, in effect, secret police, and UN mercenaries operating clandestinely over the past 2 years from U.S. military local airfields in 3,000 black helicopters will begin descending on marked targets who have been scoped out and spied or practiced on for months. Targets are armed patriots, vocal Christians, constitutionalists, conservative spokesmen, right-wing troublemakers, radio evangelists, etc., who are expected to never cooperate with or bow to the New World Order. And like I told you last night, folks, this is another intelligence report. We cannot confirm or deny it, but put it together with all of the other things that you're learning tonight, and you had better not be home between now and June the 15th if you're smart and if you're a known patriot. You should be armed and just prepare. I don't know if anything's going to happen, but be prepared. Pretend you're a Boy Scout, okay? Don't get caught with your pants down. We have just been told that FEMA will be involved this year between June 1st and June 16th with radio amateurs when they do their annual simulated emergency drills in Florida. FEMA will be involved this year. They have never in history been involved with these drills. This year they will be involved and will declare condition white and condition yellow alerts. This has the potential of being very serious since condition yellow is actual action and junk teams are dispatched. Mandatory evacuation plans are enforced, etc. For more information, folks, read the executive orders governing FEMA and what they're capable of doing under a declared national emergency, and you'll know what could happen. This report, I can't air, it's rumor. I now have in my hand, ladies and gentlemen, the actual bill of lading. The actual bill of lading from Germany. stamped directly on the face of it. It says reserved for UN. This bill of lading is for Soviet trucks, all of them equipped with CBN decontamination units. All of them stored near Biloxi, Mississippi. I have photographs of all of these trucks, of the complete installation. The bill of lading came right off the front windshield of one of the trucks. There was a bill of lading on every single truck. We took one at random. Also, a report of a German serviceman who was visiting New Orleans from a U.S. Army base in Alabama where he was training. He was shot and killed Sunday on a street corner near Armstrong Park. Martin Hecker, 25, had been partying on Bourbon Street. Hecker, who reportedly lived in Rindholm, Germany, was taking a helicopter training course at Fort Rucker, an army base near Dothan, Alabama, said Peter Mende, deputy consul general at the German consulate in Houston. Hecker came to town with another German serviceman from Fort Rucker, said Colonel Berthold Buchholz, chief of staff for German Armed Forces Command, United States and Canada. Did you hear what I just said? Base officials said Hooker was in the German Air Force and was in a helicopter flight training course, but the consulate in Houston said he was in the German Army and was training as a helicopter mechanic. You make up your own mind. More trucks. Trucks, all painted, United Nations colors, all from the Soviet Union. 540 military Russian vehicles near Biloxi, Mississippi. In last month's issue of Taking Aim, we reported that these vehicles were being stored on an international biosphere reserve and guarded by foreign troops who could not speak English. After further investigation, MOM has discovered that this compound is not being guarded by foreign troops and this property is not an international biosphere reserve. MOM has received video footage and also an audio report of this compound. These reports reveal there are now approximately 730 vehicles in this compound. This compound is owned by the United States Customs Blue Lightning Customs Office. These vehicles come from the East German Bloc in Germany. Bill of lading on vehicles marked UN, United Nations. Vehicles at this time are being marked on their bumpers UN with personal ID numbers, example UN-439. Vehicles are equipped with and for gas, CBN, chemical, biological, and nuclear warfare. Assault troops, latest communications equipment, anti-scattering infrared devices, survival in nuclear biological contaminated areas. All vehicles are less than 2 years old and have no more than 1,000 miles on their odometers. The director of maintenance in this U.S. custom compound stated that these vehicles are attached to the United Nations and were to be used outside of the U.S. for purposes other than peaceful. He also stated that these vehicles were quarantined in this compound. These vehicles have had their fuel tanks topped off and are ready to roll at any time. They are combat ready. This compound is restricted and is being guarded by Doberman Pinschers as of the first week of April. It appears that these vehicles are being transported up the Pearl River after being unloaded at the NASA compound. Our intelligence reports show that heavy dredging has occurred in the Pearl River, which flows through NASA, allowing for seagoing barges entrance into the compound. February 21, 1994, two men. January 21, 1994, two men, one who works in the medical field, were fishing in the bayous of the Pearl River when they were asked to leave by a strangely clad individual. These men had observed heavy river traffic before, so they returned to their vehicle to get a camera, and they also had taken an SKS rifle with them. They returned to their fishing boat to continue fishing. After an unspecified amount of time went by, they noticed a number of boats coming up the river toward them. The lead boat fired warning shots over their boat. While one of the men was taking pictures, the other man fired numerous shots over the lead boat. The lead boat at that time riddled their fishing boat and the vehicle they were traveling in, which was parked next to the shore, full of holes, with what they believed to be an M60 machine gun. The van was not drivable, so they fled on foot. Union. Is it time for UN peacekeepers to police U.S. streets? By Bob Green. The subject of this article is that the United States is so out of crime, out of connection, out of control, with crime and drugs, that we need UN police peacekeepers on our streets. Orange County, or excuse me, Des Moines Register, May 24th, 94. United Nations looks at international gun control. The gist of this article is that the United Nations needs to take over gun control throughout the world. Throughout the world. If we're not under United Nations government, how could they even consider such a thing? The Gaston Gazette, May 24th, 1994. United Nations studies global gun control, the UN proposal. Here's how the UN proposal would affect guns. Harmonization of gun standards across the world with controls at all points of the chain, from production and acquisition to purchase and afterward. Strengthening of government controls in the export and import of arms. Stricter regulation of international arms dealers. Establishment of a global computer database on missing and stolen arms. The Houston, the Houston paper, I guess. Tuesday, May 24th, United Nations taking aim at world gun control. Commission could stir debate on U.S. global weapons trade. Again, the gist of that article is the same as the gist of the others. Washington. June 1st, 1994, new strategies to heal an ailing world will include a global income tax and penalty fees for adding to the third world brain drain, according to a United Nations report published Wednesday. And you think you're overtaxed already. Ladies and gentlemen, you better wake up. You better do it real quick. June 1st, 1994. Key findings from the 1994 Human Development Report prepared for the United Nations Development Program. The nature of conflict has changed in the last 50 years, from strife between nations to discord within nations. Of 82 conflicts in the last 3 years, with more than 1,000 battle-related deaths, 79 were within nations and only 3 between nations. 90% of the war casualties in the last decade were civilian, a reversal of the pattern during the two world wars when 90% of the casualties were soldiers. Global military spending declined between 1987 and 1994 at an estimated average rate of 3.6%, yielding a savings of $935 billion, but it is difficult to track where the savings went. While the Cold War has ended and superpower arms spending has decreased, developing countries have reduced military spending by very small amounts. In sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia, two of the poorest regions, military spending levels have increased. The United Nations last year spent $4.4 billion on peacekeeping, more than the $4 billion it spent in the previous 48 years. The United Nations operation in Somalia cost more than $2 billion in 1993. A similar investment in Somalia's social and economic development 10 years ago might have averted the current crises. The World Health Organization estimates the total cost to the international community during the 1980s on research and lost productivity associated with AIDS was $240 billion. Just $10 billion invested in primary health care and family planning education, particularly in Africa, could have prevented such a fast outbreak of the disease. And finally, one of my favorite organizations. Issues warning of global danger. London, June 1st, 1994. Citing weather-related disasters in the United States and around the world, the environmental group Greenpeace Wednesday said global warming is already causing severe climatic changes and environmental disasters. The International Environmental Group, in a report entitled The Climate Time Bomb, cataloged more than 500 examples of extreme global weather events from scientific journals, newspapers, and computer databases. The report says the 8 hottest years on record have all occurred since 1980, with 1990 the hottest ever. It warns that entire island countries in the Pacific could disappear as sea levels rise, and many plant and animals could face extinction. It gives as examples drought-induced fires in California, Indonesia, and Siberia, intense cyclones in the Caribbean and Pacific regions, floods in Europe and the United States, and droughts in Africa, South America, and Australia. Taken as a whole, we believe we're seeing the first signs of climatic change, Jeremy Leggett, the group's scientific director, told Reuters. Looking at the broad variety of global impacts, a devastating picture of a changing climate emerges, he said. Anyone ready to argue that decades of unimpeded CO2 carbon dioxide emissions by the fossil fuel industry has no noticeable effect on the climate must be prepared to explain why the last decade has been the hottest since records began, why the trend continues into the 90s, and why we are seeing unprecedented glacier melting and the thinning of the Arctic. Global warming is the long-term climatic change brought on by the buildup of carbon dioxide and other gases that contribute to the greenhouse effect, the atmospheric blanket that keeps in the Earth's heat. Luggett said Greenpeace published the report to galvanize policymakers to take more effective action. The group also wanted to explain to people that it is a problem today. It's just the tip of the iceberg and a taste of much more to come, he added. Tip of the iceberg is more correct, folks. This is a lie from beginning to end. The reason that they're the hottest every year, it's the first time they begin measuring and averaging the temperatures in cities instead of in the countryside, where they should. Any check with the stations around the world measuring mean sea level will show you that the sea has not risen nor fallen in the history of recording the mean sea level of the oceans. Also, a check, ladies and gentlemen, with the true people who really measure the ice at the poles will tell you that the glaciers are growing larger and they are expanding. A check with the United States Department of Agriculture will show you that they have recently changed the map that shows which crops can be grown at which latitude. The reason for the change, folks, is some crops can now not be grown in some of the northern latitudes where they used to be grown because the overall temperatures are getting colder. How about that? Now, folks, I told you repeatedly we're in trouble. I give you facts. I don't give you conjecture. I tell you don't believe what you hear on this program or any other program. I tell you to go out and prove me wrong. None of you have. You all know what's happening and you know what's coming. Like the Mormon Church, most of you are all talk and no action. And I want to see some action. And I want to see it soon. If you understand what you heard tonight, all referenced, all from legitimate sources, except for the one that I told you, could not be proven or disproven, the 628 pages of the treason documents, which document in official government documents the treason that has taken place in this country, the fact that we are, in fact, under United Nations rule, that our military forces are functioning as the world police force. Right now, all of the medical units in the various military forces of the United States are being merged. Soon, the United States Army Infantry and the United States Marine Corps will be merged. Right now, there are Russian military officers in our military academies, in our police academies, in our police departments, and in our military units. And we have officers in those corresponding units in Russia in what used to be called the Soviet bloc. And eventually you will see the merging of the military forces of the United States and what used to be the Soviet Union into the world police force under the United Nations. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, will disappear, and they will not even be referenced in history books as ever having existed. There are no protections for individual rights in the United Nations Charter or in any of the United Nations resolutions that have ever been passed. If you wish to remain free, then we must act now. You must. You will form militia units. You will arm yourselves. You will do whatever is necessary to prepare, and when the time comes, you will fight for freedom, or you will become a slave, shackled to a prison of debt controlled by a computer every single moment of your life. And if you dare to voice any discontent, your accounts will be zeroed out and you will die in front of the community who will not help you for fear that the same thing will happen to them. I am a messenger. Whether you like me or whether you agree with me or not, you had better heed my message. For if you do not, the consequences will be more than you can bear. Good night, and God bless you all.